Hello, hello, and welcome to the Travel Now podcast. If you're looking for inspiration for your next adventure, for money-saving ways to book, or ideas to get the most out of your time away, this is the podcast for you. Hello, I'm Luke Richardson. I'm an author of thriller novels, and I have to confess, a total travel addict. In this podcast, I bring you stories from my travels, interviews with people who've been to the places I want to go, and live episodes from the road. Hello, welcome. Thank you for joining me. It's so good to be here. Today then, I'm talking with Caroline Sande. She's a blogger, a brand creator, an event organiser, and, like me, a total travel advocate. This is a totally inspiring travel conversation, especially for people who are sort of looking for an easy way to begin travelling. Or if you know someone who's got an easy, who you think would really get a lot from travel, but has always had excuses in the past, this is a conversation I would love you to recommend to them. Before we get into that, though, I'd just like to ask you, if you're enjoying this podcast and you've got a moment you would be happy to invest in me spreading travel inspiration as far and as wide as possible, I'd love, love, love for you to leave a review for this podcast. You can do that on Apple Podcasts, and it's so important because the podcast platforms use reviews to decide which shows to promote, and listeners like you use them to decide which podcasts to try. I would be so grateful if you were able to do that. I'd appreciate it massively. So back in 2018 then, Caroline set herself the target of getting travel firmly on more people's agendas. And she didn't just sit there talking about it like I might do. She didn't start a podcast and just tweet about it. No. Using Skyscanner and her social media accounts, she took the bold step of organising group trips to various European destinations for complete strangers. Now, when I first read that, I missed the last bit and just thought she was doing this for her friends. She was just putting on sort of a weekend to take friends away. But no, this is for people she doesn't know. She's never met before. I mean, organising a weekend away with friends can be difficult enough. Trying to get everyone, tell everyone where you're going, collect all the money, negotiate which times you're going to get the bus or the plane or wherever you're going to go. But doing this for people she's never met before is incredible. She would meet the group, she explains this in the interview, she would meet the group who were often black 20-something women who wanted to travel but didn't really know how to get started at the airport in the morning, and they'd set off for a 12-hour trip to one destination or another, which is amazing, fantastic, sounds like a great day out. During the last 2 years then, when she's not been able to do these quite so often, she's grown her brand Travel Eat Slay into a collection of articles and launched travel accessory subscription service Travel Box. We talk about both of those things in detail as well. And we talk about how you can start traveling even if you're short on time and money, how travel inspires great friendships, and the importance of promoting travel to underrepresented communities. Let's listen in. This podcast is sponsored by Bucketlist. Whether you're an experienced traveller or planning your first adventure, get to bucketlist.co for your inspiration. You can browse destinations, compare excursions, read blog posts from people who've been there, add those you like to your online bucket list, and when you're ready to go, book with exclusive discounts. Caroline, welcome to the Travel Now podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. This is brilliant. This is brilliant.
Do I get like a round of applause?
I think you should.
Woo! Yay!
There's one thank pair of hands me, clapping in an empty yeah. room.
Mine too.
Two pairs of hands in separate empty rooms. Yeah. Fantastic. Fantastic. So I've got so much to talk to you relating to travel, and we are going to sort of dial in on your love of solo travel in a little while. But first of all, I want to sort of get behind your travel story. What inspired you to love travel? Where was that bug? You know, where did that bug bite you?
Yeah, it's weird. Okay. My name is Caroline. Thank you for having me, Luke. The travel bug, I think I had sporadic moments of when it bit me, like a little mosquito bite that kind of bits you and then it goes away and then you go to a different country and it bits you again. When I was younger, I was born in Zimbabwe, and my dad always made it a point that we needed to take family vacations all throughout my like young growing up childhood life. So even though we didn't necessarily go trips abroad out of Zimbabwe to anywhere else, it was just traveling within our local, like traveling either to the village or to monumental places, other cities outside of the capital where we used to stay. And through that, I was just like, you know, when you're young, you're just like, oh, school holidays, yay, we have something to look forward to. So I wouldn't say it bit me that hard, but like it was just something for me to look forward to when I was growing up. And then time passed and I grew up and I kind of sort of lost my love for travel a bit. I relocated to from Zimbabwe to London. And to be honest, that whole journey, that was my first time getting into a plane. And I was just like, yeah, I don't like this. Like the turbulence and everything that I had to navigate through. I was just like, I don't like traveling. This is not for me. And again, I don't know how it got reintroduced to me, but in my college, well, while I was in college, I vowed to be a flight attendant. I saw it online.
Glamorous.
The glamorous life. I don't know who had sold me that dream. I was just like, yeah, I want to be a flight attendant. They look so like put together. Like everything just looked, I don't know, different airlines, sometimes some of them don't look so put together. But the one that I had seen, the flight attendant that I had seen, I was just like, oh, this looks cool. And what's not to love? You're getting to go to a different destination every day and you're getting paid for it as well. So I was just like, okay, this could be it. I am going to be a flight attendant. And though this hope in my mind, I was just like, yeah, I'm going to do this. We had a careers day at school. And one, like, I don't know where she came from. I think she was like from the job center. This lady came by and, you know, we get like counseling about different career paths. And I told her about like, yeah, I want to be a flight attendant. She just looked at me and she was like, you're too short to be a flight attendant. You will never be a flight attendant.
I was just like, so harsh.
I know, like kill someone's dream. That was just like, and from then, I guess, I was just like, okay. I didn't even need to travel abroad for me to like ignite that passion for me to travel. So from her discouragement, I was just like, yeah, forget this. This is not happening for me. But in, I think a friend of mine in college was just like, let's go to Spain for a weekend. I think we were celebrating someone's something, birthday or something. And I was just like, yeah, I don't really like traveling, but why not? Let's do this. And I think from then it reignited my passion for travel. From college, I then made it a point when I transitioned to university. I saved up the grant money. What's that? The money that we get. The loan.
Yeah.
I saved up the loan that, and I promised myself that if I passed my first year of uni, I would reward myself, which I did. I rewarded myself with a 3-month trip to the US. I went to the US. That was my first, I guess you would call it like a solo trip, but I had my family there. I had like a cousin there, but okay. I flew out by myself and I was just like, okay, this could be something that I could kind of get used to. Like I work hard, I reward myself through travel. What's not to love? So once I finished uni, I also then vowed to myself that I would get a job that would allow me to travel and pay me, which I did land a job within B2B events agency. So we used to organize corporate events worldwide. And I think within a year, we would get to travel to maybe, we'd travel like 6 to 8 times a year. And these were like luxury destinations, like we went to Dubai, went to Croatia, like so many eye-opening places that I wouldn't have imagined for myself. I got to do it through my job. So I would say like, that's what I'm saying. I think my love for travel was just a bit up and down because
That's interesting. It wasn't that you didn't a constant have it from childhood, though. So that sort of moving across continents, would you say that perhaps sort of stifled your love to travel because it was like, it must have been quite a scary thing, I suppose, as a very young person, you know, moving to a place you'd never
leaving, at least you're leaving something that you've been accustomed to. And even from, I went to a boarding school when I was in Zimbabwe. So then transitioning to boarding school is strict. Like, you have rules, you have to do this, that at a certain time. Transitioning to coming to the UK, where I felt a bit more freedom. I was just like, okay, this is what's happening here. I can go out anytime that I want. Like, I didn't have that much restrictions. I still had respect for like my siblings that I stay with. But I just felt it was an eye opener to see different cultures, experience different foods, experience like even interacting with different people from different cultures, and just be like, okay, so where are you from? Oh, I've seen that in the TV, or like, and just communicate in a travel language, I guess, to 100%. People.
I do have to say, because she'll hate it if I don't mention it, my wife is Zimbabwean. She's from Harare. Yeah.
Yay!
Do you speak Shona?
I do speak Shona.
So if I say Makadi, you'll know what I'm saying.
Yes. Oh my God, that's so cool.
That's about it. And, you know, I can say what I'd say, you know, whatever.
That is so cool. Oh, I got to meet your wife. That's
yeah,
so cool.
we'll hang out next time we're all in the same part of the country.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about, other cultures, isn't it? And I think wherever you come from, wherever your travel experience, particularly in somewhere like Britain, there are other cultures everywhere, aren't there? You can't, we're such a...
diverse
country, you know, that these things happen even without perhaps you realizing that they're going on.
Yeah, it's a good eye opener for anyone really who hasn't traveled. You don't need to travel abroad for you to know that there are other cultures that exist. Sometimes it's just looking in. I know different parts of London are heavily maybe like influenced by other cultures. So if you want to go to without a flight ticket, if you want to go to, like, I don't know, the Mediterranean, you can go to one side of London and you just feel like you've stepped into a Mediterranean country.
100%.
The same
you,
with, like...
You go to Brick Lane and you can get one of the best curries of your life outside of Asia.
Yeah. It's like, oh, what's the point of going to, like... Not to say what's the point, but I'm saying if you're really... Especially, like, during this pandemic where people were not able to travel, hey, just... loiter around London, go to East and you experience a different culture, go to West and you experience somewhere different.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about that. Yes, sort of traveling locally, and that's something I have talked about a lot in the last year or so on this podcast. So where did the idea and the sort of inspiration behind your travel brand Travel Eat Slay and your blog and all of the things you do on there, because you've got a lot of stuff on your website, you know, a lot of different adventures that you've had, and a lot of different
things. I'm a busy girl. I like to keep busy, so it keeps the brain moving and ignited. Actually, my brand Travel Eat Slay was inspired through the job that I had. So we were traveling to like different destinations, as I mentioned, and I was just like, oh, wouldn't it be nice to have like a souvenir that you can take along with you through all your trips? And what's better than through fashion, or to make a fashionable statement while you travel? So I then gathered my friend who was creative, who helped me create the logo. And every time I traveled for work, I actually wore my t-shirt. It was like my little uniform. Every time I traveled, and every time anyone in the company knew that I was coming to an event, they would just be like, oh gosh, she's going to wear her t-shirt. She's going to like blog or vlog her trip with us. And to begin with, I just saw it as a way for me to document my travel experiences, right? And then share it with everyone else, or share it with my social media team, and just be like, hey guys, so today I'm in X country, I'm traveling, I'm eating, and I'm slaying. That's exactly what it is. It's something relatable. It's something that you do anyway. Every time you travel, you eat, right? Whether you're eating fast food, whether you're eating budget, whether you're eating luxury, but you're still eating and infusing yourself in that culture or immersing yourself in that culture. And then the slave part is just doing what you do best, whether it's you're fashionable, you can slay your fashion, you can, whatever you do, you can slay.
Yeah, I like it. And that's definitely like a millennial use of the word, isn't it? Because
yes.
I think in people, my generation and perhaps older, we say slay is like to kill.
Yeah.
Or to like
but
murder.
Again, you know, like, yeah. it's you're killing the fashion game. Yeah, you're killing it. Like that's still a term, right? Like, oh, you're killing that fashion. You're killing that jacket. You're killing that hairstyle. True. You're whatever you're doing, you're just doing it to the best of
100%.
Your ability.
Yeah.
So if you're traveling, and some people have now taken it to a full-time career, they are slaying that travel game or travel industry.
Absolutely.
So it's not really just targeted to the millennials. It's everybody can.
No, I like it because it's cheeky. I thought it was quite cheeky. It was quite, you know what I mean? It was something like edgy about it, which I thought was.
Thank you.
Yeah, I thought it worked from a 30-something bloke who, you know. Yeah. Not your
slay
target
too.
Market, but here I am, you know.
Guys slay too. Guys that's the thing. Maybe you can disregard the slay part, but ultimately what you're doing, you're traveling and you're eating, right?
Yeah.
The slay part can be for your other half.
I want to slay. Oh. I'm going to slay.
Yeah. You see?
Always slaying.
Yeah.
All the time. 24/7 slay.
That's it. Slay every day.
Slay every day. I like it. Right. I'm going to try and use that in a sentence in the next 2 days, twice or something.
Let me know how that goes.
So
they'll be like, what? What are you talking about?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So another thing I wanted to talk to you about is I'm a big advocate for solo travel. And I think you've done a fair amount of travel with work, but on your own, you know, I think sometimes people can be put off travel because they feel that they've not got someone who they want to go with, or they've not got a friend who wants to go there. And travel is expensive and it's inconvenient and it's, you know, it's by some people it's discouraged or whatever, you know. So I get it's not for everyone, you know. But I've always said you don't need to go with anyone, you can go on your own. And I think you're going to sort of echo that sentiment back at me.
Yeah, actually my first solo trip was ignited because I couldn't find somebody to come with me. And it just dawned on me. I was like, okay, I really want to go to this destination. I had called around my friends, asked them, hey, do you want to go with me? I found flights. I did the hard work. All you need to do is pay for your own flight and come with me. And then you get the excuses. Oh, I can't take time off work. Oh, I don't really have the budget for it. Or like, that's not really a destination that I'm interested in. And I think it's a shame when we allow other people's, would you say, opinion or negative vibes to stop you from doing the things that you want to do. So in 2018, was it 2017 or 2018? One of the years, I forgot. I wanted to test the waters, actually. I initially wanted to go to Cuba as my solo trip. And I was just like, girl, it's too far. I even sometimes was putting myself down. I was like, oh, it's too far. You don't even know. Like, what will happen? Why don't you just wait for someone else to come with you? I was like, okay, let me start small. I went to Greece, somewhere in Greece. I don't remember the name. It will come to me in a minute.
Okay.
It was one of the islands in Greece. And I was just like, okay, let me try for 4 days. I'll go to this island and just test it out. Let's see how people will receive me. I'm not sure why I was thinking why people would receive me, because I wanted to do it for myself. I shouldn't like wait for someone else to say, oh yeah, now you can go solo trip. Now you can do this. And the first day, I'm not even going to lie, it was nerve-wracking. I was just like, oh, what if everyone is looking at me? What if they know that I'm traveling alone? But I was just like, who cares? They were not even concerned about me. They were enjoying their own holiday. So sometimes it's a self, it's something that you have to talk yourself into to just say, hey, you're going to enjoy this trip. You've earned this trip. You've worked hard. And why can't you just enjoy yourself, live in the moment, and just take that trip by yourself? So after that first day, I was just like, okay, I don't care who looks at me. If they do look at me, they were not looking at me. I think it was just a personal thing. And after I let my guard down to take away all those connotations, I enjoyed that trip. I was just like, okay, I made friends. I saw other people who were traveling solo. I was just like, why was I so holding myself back on such an experience? Because I got to connect with amazing people that I met there who were traveling solo. I took another day trip to Santorini. I was just like, okay, let's do this. I've seen Santorini on Instagram. I've seen it before. Why not go check it out? I'm already here. So it opens you up to even more possibilities than you just staying reserved and in your own cocoon.
Oh, completely. I agree with that 100%. I also find the other way now, that if I happen to travel with other people, after a couple of days, I'm like, guys, I just need to be left alone for a bit.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go off. See you for dinner later. Yeah. You know, like, because once you've had that, that independence, it's really hard to do anything else, is it? You know,
like, yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I did it the other way around. Traveling with work, we traveled in a group. But then even within that group, I would be like, okay, sometimes let me venture out for an hour. Let me go by myself. Let me just see how, like, test the waters, just being in a different country by yourself. And yes, like you're saying, it gives you that more confidence. You're more self-aware and you're just like, oh, let me just have fun and see what happens. It's not like, as long as you're not putting yourself in harm's way and making sure you're safe and not like share in for girls. I think sharing your location when you're still in that destination is a little bit of a risky spot. As long as someone knows where you are, who's within your group, or someone at home that can trace you back. As long as you've taken all those precautions, live your best life. Just do it.
Yeah, absolutely. But you took that one step further, didn't you? You've actually started organizing these sort of solo trips, but for group trips for solo people, essentially. Is that the way to describe it?
You can say it that way. So in 2018, I quit the job that I was working at in the events company so that I could focus on Travel Eat Slay, building that as a brand. And just to see, hey, let me travel a bit more by myself just to see what's out there. I had saved up some money. So I did my big international trip to Cuba, and then I went to Morocco. And then those big international trips cost money. So my money was now coming short, but I still had that itch of traveling and making the most of my freedom now that I don't work, or like I'm not under a company anymore. So just while I was online, I started Googling, where can I travel to from London that's relatively cheap and doesn't take that much time? I saw a day trip flight. Basically, I would leave in the morning and return that same evening to Cologne, and it was £20. I was like, okay, well, this is interesting. Let me try that. And I did that for a few trips. I think I did that for 3 trips, and I was still documenting it and saying, hey, guys, did you know you could fly to Cologne for a day for £20 from London? And at the end of 2018, I just put out a tweet and I said, who would be interested to join me on a group trip? It's a group trip, but not so long. Like, there's no accommodation involved. It's going to be cheap. I would create the whole itinerary of what we're going to do. All you need to do is book and come and say that you're coming with me. And I was just like, oh, no one is going to do this. No one would choose this in comparison to if I said, let's go to Bali for 5 days, for example. But then, like, to my surprise, like, I've got a few people who are just like, oh, tell us more. When is the time? Like, when is it? And in the end, in January of 2019, I hosted my first group trip with 6 other people. And I was the 7th one. And I was just like, oh, this is a bit weird. I didn't expect people,
to come. 6 people came with you.
Literally. And I was just like, okay, this looks like there's a gap in the market. Mm. the need is there for people to travel like less hassle, a hassle-free travel. Yeah. They don't have to commit too much time out of the office. They don't have to commit too much time in terms of the flight. And in terms of how much they spend in that country, it's down to you. Mm. Because if you want to eat something luxurious while I eat KFC, hey, as long as we're in that country together, we are creating memories together. So in 2019, I managed to organize 12 of these trips. These were all with strangers. I would just advertise it on my Instagram or Twitter and receive interest. I would create the itinerary of what we're going to do, and just we literally would meet up at the airport. And that's where my brand, Travel Eat Slay, came. It, that uniform that I used to wear for work, it came in handy, because I'll be like, just look out for the girl who's got the Travel Eat Slay jacket or t-shirt or whatever. And it also was another way for me to channel or sell my merchandise through anyone who actually attended the group trips.
That is such a great idea. So you did 12 in 1 year, just like on a Saturday 12. Morning, you'd meet at Gatwick and you'd go
random,
to wherever.
Random times. Know. Mainly it was during the week. It right. usually was a Tuesday or Wednesday. And then as time passed, I started maximizing the weekends. But then also weekend travel is more expensive if you're trying to do these day trips. So we did manage to go to Oslo for a Saturday. For anyone who doesn't know, Oslo is expensive. Our flight was £20, but what we spent there was just even more. I think it was even like up to 150. And that was just for a day. Mm. That was including like the transport from getting to the airport into the city and just exploring the day, eating. Oslo is no cheap. It's not a cheap trip. But the rest of the trips, we did Madrid. We went to Milan. This has been so long ago. It feels like so long ago now, because I'm just like, I haven't done this for 2 years. We went to Milan, we went to Barcelona, Madrid. So these are the requirement for these trips was just that I would look for the flights, and if you're interested to join, you would pay a joining fee for all the hassle that I would have done. The joining fee was really cheap. It was nothing extravagant. I think it was even under, I'm not going to give it out. I'm not going to say it. But it was something affordable. The flights that I would have found would be always less than £30. And that was a return flight. So we would leave in the morning. Usually some of the flights, I think the one that when we went to Venice was like a 6 a.m. flight. But we spent the whole day in Venice. So imagine as a content creator, as a blogger, or if you just like traveling, just spending a day in Venice, like that's all the content that you can create. And then you go back home at the end of that day and you just be like, hey. And you know, when you're speaking with your colleagues at work, oh, what did you do yesterday? Oh, I was in Venice. Yeah, I was just like, it's chilling in Venice.
It just reminds me that we as people who live in Europe are so lucky, aren't we, to have all of these places within, you know, you live in London, Paris is 100 miles from you, or 120 miles or whatever it might be, you know.
It's quicker for you to go to Paris. It's quicker for me to go to Paris on the train than sometimes it is for me to get to
Nottingham,
South
where I
London,
am, probably.
To, you know? yeah. Or even within London, traveling within London can be a hassle, and it can take, depending on which area of London, I'm in Southeast London, and sometimes it can take me over an hour and a half to get to one side of London. And you're just like, I could have gotten a flight to a different country in that same duration.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I think that is a real lesson, isn't it? Because people talk about travel, can't afford it. That's one of the key things that a lot of, I've been guilty of this as well. And I'm sure you have at times, that we all have, where we've gone, oh, I'd love to do that, but you know, I've got to pay for this.
It's expensive.
You know.
Yeah. But I think you prioritize what you like or what you find fascinating or just have a passion for. because for me then, travel was, it still is, travel was my passion or is my passion. I just, but I didn't have the budget for like a long haul trip. So why don't I maximize the budget that I have and see which countries I'm able to exploit with that budget? And it is possible. Sometimes it's, it might take a few research, a few Skyscanner searches, a few Google alerts, whatever it takes. But if it's something that you're passionate about, make time for it and create that lifestyle around it.
Absolutely. How far out were you booking the flights for these things then? Were you organizing them months in advance or a couple of weeks?
No,
or?
Actually, sometimes it would be the most, I would say, probably a month in advance. But in most cases, Tuesdays was my day of researching flights. I'm not sure if it's the same for you, but Tuesday evening, I would just be like, on Skyscanner, where can I go? Like, you know that search?
Search London everywhere.
To everywhere. Yeah. You're just like, okay, eeny, meeny, miny, moe, you are the cheapest flight. Let me go. And that's what I used to do. Once I find one and I created a mailing list, I would just be like, guys, who is interested to go from London to this place? Let's go. And funny enough, I actually got an American who was traveling within the UK who came to one of the trips. She was like, oh, I heard that you're doing these day trips and I'm already in the UK or like in London for this time period. Do you have anything around the time that I'm here? And I was like, oh, funny enough, we're going to Poland. Do you want to come? And she was like, yeah, I'm going to come. So it's just that making connections effortlessly and making connections through a mutual interest.
Yeah,
you don't have to force travel on somebody who doesn't like travel. But this was just like a safe space that if you like travel, if you're tired of your friends saying, oh, I'm going to come next time, and they're letting you down, if you are interested in solo travel but are not yet ready to dabble in that, come on this trip. I've already organized the itinerary for you. You can kind of get a taster of how it's going to be.
I think you're absolutely right. Do you, did you find that like the people that came, you obviously made friends with some of these people going forward. Did you find there was a sort of similar sort of person who was attracted to this sort of trip? That's what I'm trying to ask. Did you find common factors within?
I would say the group trips attracted Black females, mainly around the 20 to 35 like age range. I actually got a couple that came on one of the trips to Venice and I was like, oh, this is nice, this is different. But ideally that was the target market that somehow, I'm a Black female anyway, so I hope I'm making content and creating products that attract a similar type of women.
Do you feel then that that is a target market that is sort of underrepresented in the travel world?
Oh, of course,
you know, with all the influencers that we see in all these places, you know.
Yeah, I do feel like it's marginalized kind of realm. And that's why you get, I don't know how much into like travel clubs you see, like little travel communities being created. It's like a lot are now being created, being headed by either Black men traveling, Black females traveling, because we've seen that there is, we are here, we do travel, but we're just not in the mainstream market or advertised mainstream to say Black females do travel or it's even, and it's not just Black females or it's people of color that are not represented as much as they should or could be
generally
within,
generally, you know.
Generally, but then even like the travel scene, and that's when we got like 2020, was it 2020 when the Black Squares was happening and some travel brands were just showing their appreciation or recognition of, oh, we do represent like ethnic minority content creators. But then once that phase kind of stopped, some of them also stopped their support or whatever they thought that they were doing. So I think sometimes it's It's like, we're not a pawn that you can be like, oh, when it's in trend, let's focus on the black or like the people of color. And then when it's no longer a trend, or when everyone is now accustomed to seeing, I don't know, whatever a traveler of color, even a traveler with disability, or like there's so many hidden, they're not hidden, but like there's so many communities that require representation, but sometimes are just used as a, oh, it's in trend. Or, oh, it's only Black History Month. Let's look for somebody that we can use as a token. And then once it's outside of that Black History Month, we don't really care about them. Or
no, I get what you mean. Do you think, though, and this is, I suppose, what I was trying to ask, is do you think, though, because of that underrepresentation, there is a perception amongst young Black women that traveling isn't for me, or traveling isn't something that I would like to do? Do you think they're less sort of
inclined to travel,
or inclined to do it, yes, than perhaps someone else would be?
I think it was before, but with the help of social media to an extent, because now you're seeing these travel communities that are being created, Black travel feed, or Black women traveling, or Black solo travelers. Like there's so many little communities that are being created to represent or showcase or encourage anyone else who is within that segment or who fits the bill, to say, hey, you don't have to wait for your friends, or you don't have to think travel is only for this kind of person, or you don't have to fit in this box that media is showing us. You can travel anyway. Like, look at this girl. She's thriving. She's traveling. And through these communities, they're kind of being built as a source of information, because they're giving you travel guides, they're giving you group trips, they're giving you just little inspirations. If anyone is thinking, even if you Google, like, is X country safe for Black people? Like, that's a big thing, big search that's on Google. But the creation of such groups is just like showing you, but it's also showing you that just because I went to Poland and it was great for me, it's not always going to be great for everybody. Like, it doesn't mean that because my experience talks for everyone else. No, you need to get out there for yourself and not accept the connotations or whatever media says, this is not safe, this is right, you should travel, you shouldn't travel, kind of thing.
I think there is a lot of fear, isn't there, at the present time, especially regards to travel, you know, with people saying, oh, it's really bad over there for whatever, and actually they're not looking at what their own street is like, what their own town is
like. Your neighborhood, you know, could actually be more dangerous than
this is it.
Going abroad. That's what I guess, you being like close-minded to just focus on, I don't know, whichever mouthpiece would have said, whichever media or mainstream would have said, X country is dangerous, don't go there. Well, why don't you go for yourself? Like, go and see for yourself. I think there is even a community that says, we go too. Like, we want to go and see what is happening in X country, so that I can have that revelation for myself to say, oh yeah, that place, ooh, that place was not good, or that place was good. I don't know what that magazine was saying, because I had a good time.
Yeah.
And you shouldn't base your lack of travel or lack of knowledge of travel on what people are saying, because you haven't actually experienced it yourself. How will you know that whatever they're saying is gospel?
No, you're absolutely right. And I think that's a good point, is just to, you see other people doing it, and you do your research, you do your your own sort of due diligence in checking things are safe and making sure you've got the insurances and you're telling people where you are, and those sorts of things are, you know, those sorts of common sense things, of course. But yeah, you can't let fear sort of drive the car, can you? That's gotta,
no,
you know, it might otherwise come along for the ride, but not in the driver's seat.
And as long as you're, that's what we're saying, as long as you're taking the precautions of what you need to make yourself safe in that country, there's only so much that you can do. Like, even if you're in your own country, like in your own house, you could get burgled and you'd be like, oh, How did that happen? Well, it can happen anywhere, as long as you've taken the precautions to say, hey, I have made sure I'm carrying whatever makes you feel safe. If you've got a safety alarm, if you've got a battery pack, an extra battery pack, so that your phone doesn't run dry when you're traveling. Mm. There's so much that you can do as long as you've made yourself feel safe. Get out there, travel.
And that's what I love about your sort of model of travel there. You're taking a group of women who perhaps haven't traveled frequently in the past and are perhaps a little bit nervous about it, and you're showing them, look, we can fly to Venice. Here's how we get off the plane and go through the thing and get on the bus. Yeah. And everything's fine, and we'll get back, and and then on their own next time they might go overnight to wherever
thing.
else, or they might go for 3 nights to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that confidence is such a powerful thing.
It's a build. Yeah, it's a starting thing. It's a starter pack.
Yeah,
for your exploits. So another thing that I like marketed the group trips for was, we're just giving you a sample, a taster of what you can see when, if you decide through the group trip, like, oh gosh, Venice was too much for me. Even in those 12 hours that we went, I wouldn't go back again. But at least you now have that revelation to say that you have the facts, right? You've proven the facts. I've been for a day, or I've been for a day, I want to go see more.
Yeah.
So it works both ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell me about one of your next enterprises, which is just as inspiring, the Travel Box, which I've seen on your Instagram.
Yeah, so the Travel Box was birthed at the end of November 2020. It's so weird. Like, I feel like there's...
A year's gone missing somewhere, yeah. Hasn't it? Yeah.
I don't know which one, actually. Is it 2020 or 2021? So the Travel Box is a quarterly subscription for avid travelers. So each quarter, you receive carefully curated travel essential items. So we're focusing on travel gadgets, smart travel options, beauty products, as well as snacks, because everybody likes a snack when they travel, right? And it's helping you save time and money, like searching for all these, what is an essential travel item?
Yeah.
What should I bring when I travel? And it's not only for first-timer travelers, but it's also for those who travel anyway. Like, there's some travel items that you, even though you are a seasonal traveler or an avid traveler, that you sometimes don't even have in your possession, or you didn't know about, or you want to find a replacement for, right? And it's also another tale of it is to discover new travel brands or new travel products that you can then support in the future.
Mm. So these are the sort of things that you might need to take in your sort of carry-on luggage, you know, like hand sanitizer and the sort of general things that you carry about on a day trip or a few days trip.
So we're going for like travel gadgets. A travel gadget that I discovered last year that I hadn't thought of in the past, I guess because of the travel style that I had, was portable door lock. So for anyone who travels in hostels mainly, or a portable door alarm. So if you're in a hotel room or in a hostel and you're going to bed, you just attach that door lock to the door handle. So when anyone comes into your room or wherever you're staying, that would sound out an alarm, and then you'd be like, oh, okay, something's wrong. So it was just like, oh, I never thought of that. And that's what I'm saying. Like, these are the like innovative gadgets that you're just like, oh, this is cool. This is actually a great travel item that I never even thought of. Just because you're in a hotel room and you think everything, you're secure, sometimes you just need that added security, and that alarm would be
Yeah, sure. Anything that reassures people that makes them feel more confident on the road is got to be a good thing, right?
Yeah. And the same goes with packing cubes. I never used to use packing cubes.
Oh, these changed my travel life. Made it so much easier, you know.
Yeah.
So you're not pulling out, you're not reaching into your bag for a book on the train,
like,
and pulling out underwear
this?
All over the place. You know.
So just have everything organized. And that's another thing. Like some people, it might take a while to like to change and switch your mindset from how you used to travel before. So it's just like, hey, get organized when you travel. Have these packing cubes. They're labeled to see what's inside. If it's day clothes, if it's night clothes, you know, just be a bit more organized, save some space in your suitcase. Everything will be well for you.
Absolutely. Caroline, this has been absolutely fantastic. I've loved this conversation. It's been so insightful to sort of hear your story behind the brands and what your sort of plans are. Have you got any trips planned this year? Are you thinking of getting back out on the road?
I hope to travel internationally at some point this year. But what I had been focusing on since the pandemic is just exploring the UK a little bit more, as well as working on this new brand, new project that I have, which is the Travel Box. And as an addition for your listeners, I have a discount code that I would like to share.
Yes, please.
So your listeners will get 10% off their first subscription by using the code TRAVELNOW10.
Perfect. That's fantastic. I'll put that in the show notes as well as the link to the website so everyone can find that really easily. Where can people find you on Instagram or on the internet or generally? Where would you like people to go if they think, right, that Caroline, she's talking my language. I want to go on one of these trips. I want to follow her. Where do they start?
They can catch me on social media, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Travel Eat Slay. And then if you also want to support, you know, the new subscription box, it's The Travel Box with two X's. And that's on all social media platforms.
Caroline, that was fantastic. Thank you so much.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Such an inspiring conversation, as I knew it would be. I particularly like that conversation because of how dedicated Caroline is into getting people travelling, both through the trips she organises and the products she supplies. It's one of those things, isn't it? Is you've just got to, if you're new to this, it can seem scary. It can seem overwhelming. You've just got to sort of get out there and do it. And I think those day trips that she was talking about is such a great way to do that, to just try it, even without the destination. Do you know what I mean? Even just the getting there, someone going with you to see that first bit that can be quite, you know, quite difficult if you've never done it before. Even just having someone there can really sort of break that down. I love how she's a no excuses sort of person. You know, there's a lot of excuses that come up with regards to travel, and Caroline sort of breaking them down one at a time. And I love how I got to practice one of the only Zimbabwean words I know, which I know Mrs. Richardson will be very impressed by. So yeah, I hope you're impressed with that as well. So if you're inclined to check out the Travel Box, it's thetravelboxwith2x's.co.uk, and you can use code TRAVELNOW10 for a 10% discount should you choose to subscribe to that. I don't think there's a time limit on that. So if you're listening to this far into the future, don't worry, head on over there and do that. You can connect with Caroline on Instagram, Travel Eat Slay. So Instagram, on Instagram, Travel Eat Slay and The Travel Box. She's got two accounts for those two different brands, Travel Eat Slay and The Travel Box. Also, I would love to have you on this podcast. Do you fancy that? What do you reckon? You don't have to have a large social media following, travel full time, or even have done the trip that recently that you'd like to talk about. Reach out and let's have a conversation. hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com. And if you've enjoyed this podcast, as I said at the start, I would massively appreciate your rating, reviewing, or sharing it. That'll help other interested people come on these journeys with us. It's amazing, isn't it, that even in this time of social media algorithms and, you know, all this sort of business, someone just recommending something to a friend, saying, you know, texting it to someone, or even just saying it, you know, you might like this podcast, is so important. I've got some of the best podcast recommendations I've had over the last year or so have come from people I know personally. So I think that's still a very, very powerful way to get the message across to people who might like it. Thank you so much then for listening to the Travel Now podcast. As ever, you can connect with me via email, as I've said already, hello@lukerichardsonauthor.com, or on Instagram at Luke Richer, LukeRichaa. Bucket List sponsor this podcast. To take all the effort out of planning your life-changing trip, start today by creating an online bucket list at bucketlist.co. Share with friends, order by location, price, and then book with great discounts. Thanks again, and I'll see you soon for the next episode of the Travel Now podcast. Safe travels.